This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
.408 on your afternoon drive as we embark on hour three at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. That's Skip. I'm Philip, and neither of us are going to get arrested for posing as our own children. Have you ever done this with the girls, where like you have a mother-daughter day and everybody dresses up alike or whatever?
No, not so much. And I am firmly in that teenage age range right now, particularly with the girls, where you would be able to pick me out of the crowd because it would be my kids like, ugh, just, ugh, mom. And I'm a cool mom.
Now, have you had, so your kids are social, they're out and engaged in the world. Have you had any young Eddie Haskell type come over and introduce himself and say to one of your children, oh, you didn't tell me your sister was going to be here?
Not yet. I anticipate that that could happen a little bit as they get into like the high school level. But I do have the RBF, which the mask helps cover. But like, I'm just thinking, I'm not upset. But sometimes I look mad, which is kind of like gives me the stay away vibe. And between like the colorful hair and the tattoos, it's a little less approachable sometimes. Maybe I did it on purpose. Maybe it was semi subconscious. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have been accidentally assumed to have been with people who were my parents' age. We went out and did something one night. We took my mother-in-law out to dinner, and like the waiter just assumed that my mother-in-law and I were together and that my wife and children were our kids.
The gray betrays men. It's coming up on Mr. Skip, too.
Well, and we all had a good laugh, and I think we got like a free dessert out of it because the waiter was horrified. That said, if you threw on a hoodie, and a mask right now, I think you could get onto a high school campus and probably pass.
It would happen when I worked on high school campuses in the past. Yeah, if I just dressed down a bit. Yeah.
There's nothing that I can do to my appearance that somebody's going to look at me and mistake me for a middle school kid. If I shaved myself bald, I still look too much like Santa Claus to get away with it at this point. Even if you could, is there anything on God's green earth that would cause you to go to school for a day?
No. And I don't even know that I would do it under the guise of a social experiment to prove about the safety of the school. What this is a woman who wants attention and wants to feel younger because she's having a crisis because her daughter is 13 and has the youth and she doesn't. Is that judgy of me?
No, it's not judgy. This is a woman who had a child at 17 years old and is no longer 17 years old and is having, I think at 30, I think this is like the early version of a midlife crisis for some people. Oh my God, I'm not a kid anymore. I have to look like a kid.
Which, girl, mine just turned 13. I get it. I understand. Nothing makes you feel older than that kid you popped out turning 13 and knowing more than you about everything.
I didn't have it too bad with my son.
Girls are so different. It's painful.
Yeah, I was 31, 32 when my son turned 13. So that like wasn't a big deal. Like the age spread here for me and this Casey Garcia lady was pretty similar. It would not have ever occurred to me in a million years to sneak on campus, which I think goes to your point that this isn't a social experiment. This is attention whoring. This is grade A attention whoring.
This is a woman who has about almost 7,000 subscribers on YouTube, and her profile photo is a filter with bunny ears and whiskers. Sorry, if you are in the 20, 30 and up crowd, and there are certain filters that if I see that's your profile pic, I'm like, oh, called it. She's been on YouTube with the banana sprite challenge. She's been on YouTube with
the what now?
exactly. This other thing is some sort of food eating challenge that she did with her younger daughter, and she does them with her 13-year-old daughter. Yeah, lady, you got your 13-year-old daughter eating bananas on video. We have talked about this. You don't do this. There's perverts out there. I don't eat bananas on video in here, and I trust the people in the building, and you put it up on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
So this
goofball, yellow Marvel hoodie, disposable face mask, jeans, backpack, high top sneakers.
It's my clothes.
Yeah, pretty much. That's other than your hoodie being black instead of bright yellow. Yeah, pretty much. And then she talks about how the only time that she was really acknowledged by the teachers until the end of the day was a handful of times she got caught having her phone out.
So she went and sat in classes.
Yeah.
Participated. I understand. Look, this does make me a little worried in terms of people can just come on campus and blend in. I don't know what's going on at this Texas school. I think my kids' schools would know if they had a face that they didn't recognize in the classroom. So maybe turn the attention to the Texas administration of the schools there. But at the same time, this is a woman who is trying to claim she was proving security violations and instead was arrested on suspicion of criminal trespassing and tampering with government records. And by the way, she won't be held as accountable because one, she's a female, and two, she's kind of pretty. So she is going to get the privilege of, oh, I was doing as a social experiment. Whereas if this was a guy, we would have a whole different conversation about, is it like pedophilia behaviors? You know, what is going on? So
yeah, if you had a 30-year-old man sneak onto a middle school campus to spend the day walking around filming things, that would the first thing that would enter any, sadly, any rational person's mind is, are you a kiddie diddler?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And that would be the first thing that I would go to on purpose as well. But she's not going to have that same impact because she's an attractive woman.
Well, and she says that, oh, I did this to try and prevent another mass shooting. I don't think you prevented another mass shooting. I think that maybe, possibly, potentially, you put an idea in somebody's head. And I think that you gave all these Logan Paul wannabe YouTube jackwagons ideas about videos to shoot as we go through the last week of school here. But I don't think anything was proven.
No, well, because the idea of she's trying to prevent another mass shooting, the reality is that the tiniest fraction of mass shootings are actually done by women. You wanted to see if a guy in dark clothes carrying a backpack that looked like it might have stuff in it could get through? I mean, the standard, like, you know, prototype of a mass shooter, you don't fit that, Miss Garcia. And I hope that they actually push forward with the charges on this. I mean, and then what happens to you when you end up in jail serving time and your daughter? What's going on with your 13-year-old daughter at that point? A separation because of a parent's incarceration?
Yeah, not exactly thinking this thing through. Does this woman's stupidity offer us any silver lining? Is there anything to look at here to say, okay, yeah, the YouTube attention whores are all going to try and do this now. Okay, this woman's given bad guys an idea of how easy it is to infiltrate some schools. Has she also put it into the head of every administrator in the country, or at least every administrator who sees this story? You know what? We're going to have to do face checks. You're going to have to take off your hoodie and your mask and verify against your badge that you're you.
Well, and that's the thing. It doesn't say that she had any badge on or anything. So what we might be seeing here is where schools in locally in our district are actually ahead of the curve. And here is why: when your kid calls from school because they forgot their badge, it's going to be either important to make sure that they have it the next time, or they got to spend their own money to buy a replacement. Because I think that that might have been one of the things that maybe Texas, you know, isn't implementing in this school district that we see here across the board.
She's got almost 1 million hits on that video, which means that it's monetizable. Should there be something in the YouTube terms of service that says you can't monetize videos when you're committing a crime to create them?
Well, yes. And also, I wonder if she's going to be held accountable for taking video of minors without consent, because they could go after her for that as well.
Ooh, it depends upon if there's cameras in the school.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
So we had an eclipse a couple of weeks ago, a beautiful one that was in the middle of the night that I didn't need to see, but I did see the really pretty moon in the morning, so there was that. It feels like there's always an eclipse or...
It's the strangest
sunrise,
thing. It's like
or
circles,
you know,
yeah.
Like some weird phenomenon happening in the skies. But we have another one that is coming up Thursday, and if you are somebody who is predisposed to looking for signs of the apocalypse, you might want to look to the skies, or don't, and just hide, according to one popular evangelist.
Paul Begley is an Indiana-based preacher and television host. He presents the weekly series, The Coming Apocalypse, which is broadcast on some television channels in the United States, as well as on his YouTube channel. He says that the May 26th blood moon eclipse was part of the biblical prophecy of apocalypse unfolding, and that the Ring of Fire eclipse, which will pass through the sky tomorrow, although it's going to be visible like in the extreme northeast and Russia, that they are the harbingers of doom, according to his interpretation of the good book. I have to admit, I'm a little jealous of Paul Begley's coffee mug.
Yeah, I mean, he does have, like, he has a whole brand he's going
with. I'm pretty sure I've got that shirt, though.
I think you do. Different sunglasses, though, but I appreciate his Ray-Bans.
Pastor Begley believes there's ample biblical precedent to prove that the eclipse is a sign from God. He cites passages in Genesis describing the creation of the world, and he says that the solar eclipse is one of the signs designed to be a reminder of God's power on Earth, and that some of them are directly linked to prophecy. He then cites passages from Luke 21, which speaks of signs in the sun, moon, and stars before the second coming of Jesus Christ. The scripture reads, "On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity, roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive as what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken, and at that time they will see the Son of Man." Can I tell you something?
Yeah, sure.
I hope he's right.
Well, I mean, it'd be a cool sight to see, for sure, especially if he's, quote, coming in a cloud with power and great glory, because I want to sit back and go, okay, how many people are like, nah, it's a hologram, ah, it's fake, or it's the left, or it's the right, and then it just turns into, like, or check his papers, is he vaccinated? I don't know.
Well, that's, look, I'm not going to make fun of anybody's sincerely held faith. I admire and in the best possible way envy people who have that, who feel that in their lives. Based on my understanding of the Christian Bible and especially the book of Revelations, I think that you can draw a lot of very broad conclusions depending upon how you read that book and depending upon how you interpret different passages. I do not believe that a completely natural phenomenon, which if you are a person of faith and you believe that in 7 days, about 4,000 years ago, God created the sun, the sky, the earth, the sea, and everything that inhabits, whether you believe that, or you're one of those folks who believes that the universe is like 14 billion years old and that we're probably just this accident.
Somewhere in the middle of things.
Atoms slamming into each other and all of that. And there's this delightful spectrum in between that's got all kinds of variations in it. But if you're one of those people who's a young Earth Christian who believes in the book of Genesis as a literal truth, God put the sun and the moon into the sky, and he set them in their orbits, which means that he knew that they would occasionally cross each other in the way that causes eclipses. If he wanted for mankind to interpret that as his word, I feel like those relevant prompts would have made it into the text, would have been very bold. Because things that were a high priority, and I'm not speaking in jest at all, but a perfect example is Moses coming back down the mountain with those two big tablets.
Right.
God was really clear. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's
pretty crystal clear in those cases.
It's literally carved in stone.
Well, and I think that some of these same phrases and pieces that this pastor is pointing to, this pastor who is, you know, probably getting paid well, maybe monetizing that YouTube channel a little bit, he's pointing to are the same types of things that have been going on for a very long time. One of the things that has been interesting working in mental health with people, because I work with every denomination, religion you can think of, is that anxiety sometimes peaks around these times. And there are people that get a little nervous, get a little anxious. And, you know, we have those like frank discussions about coping skills to get through, because there is this, is this for real? Or this, I've learned this thing about eclipses, and I have some different viewpoints on it, but it's so ingrained in my head that it makes me a little nervous. So I'm going to make sure that I do A, B, and C before that happens. Personally, I think that some of the most beautiful spiritual connected moments are when you can see something in the sky that looks amazing. That is special and, I don't know, just grounding and also awe-inspiring in that way. The single thing that's happened in the last year that I can point to that made me go, oh, dear God, are we in the apocalypse, was the weather when the Creek Fire was happening. That was the most end of times type stuff that I could have ever have imagined. When it was hot and gross and so much particulate.
Yes.
Thank you. Matter in the air that it was, do not go outside because it's going to hurt your lungs. That was the level where I was like, guys, really, what's going on? And here we are.
I'm very curious to see, because I have heard different interpretations that have all pointed at biblical prophecy of the end times over the course of my life. I am very curious to see, because do I think this guy's a goofball who's seeking attention and possibly bilking people out of money by continuing to spread a little bit of hysteria? I have to admit that I think that is within the realm of possibility. I want to know what his explanation is when we get up for work on Friday.
Change of plans, Phillip. Sometimes, you know, move the goalposts?
It's not a living document.
We'll see. But, I mean, we're all planning to be here on Friday, right? I know you're taking tomorrow off.
Me, I will see.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Phillip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Philip Teresi, Skip Echeverria. And a question finally answered. I love this. I love this so much. In Melbourne, Australia, a whole bunch of bad guys getting brand new bracelets. Organized crime figures realizing that there may have been an error in judgment after having loaded up basically burner phones with Encro chat and end-to-end encrypted chat software that offers totally, totally secure communication so that even if somebody does like a man-in-the-middle attack, if somebody gets a hold of your cell phone number and is able to intercept the transmission over the air, they're not going to be able to read your stuff.
Which would be really helpful if, say, you were trying to orchestrate international drug shipments, coordinate the trafficking of arms and explosives, and discuss contract killings.
Yeah. The security on these things was so airtight that frequently the users didn't even bother to, like, encode what they were saying. They just flat out talked about shipping drugs and killing people.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to them, the entire network has been run by the FBI and the Australian Police Department.
Yes, and those two organizations working together intercepted their fair share of information to the tune of over 20 million messages and arrested at least 800 people in more than a dozen countries.
So this this spectacular bit of police
really.
Work. This is an operation known as Trojan Shield. What happened was in Australia, they got a hold of this. No, forgive me. It was an FBI effort. The FBI recruited a former distributor of an older generation encryption system called Phantom Secure. This cat had developed the ANOM encrypted communication system. The FBI flipped him, paid him $120,000, and cut his prison sentence in exchange for producing ANOM devices. Cell phones that have been stripped of all normal functions, their only working app disguised as a calculator that actually required users to enter a code, putting them in messaging mode so that they could send messages and photos with end-to-end encryption.
So over 3 years, there were more than 12,000 ANOM devices that were sold to over 300 criminal syndicates operating in more than 100 countries. This person had a corner on the market.
And because they were working for the FBI and making 120 large and getting out of prison earlier, they went ahead and put a master key in that allowed the FBI, Australian authorities, and Interpol to reroute messages through a neutral third country where they could decrypt them and ultimately intercept and read more than 27 million messages.
The informant started back in 2018 by offering devices, and from there it really grew. Do you think that this is going to put a damper on things for now, or is it just okay? There, you know, you put out this fire here. It was a big fire, but fire season always continues.
Well, look, there's always going to be one more place to get dope. That's the nature of a free market economy. It's not nice, but it's true. However, I hear tell rumors that certain drug dealers tend to behave a little bit like gas and oil companies. And the fact that the story is getting coverage means that even if your cocaine has been sitting in a mini storage locker for the past 3 months waiting for somebody to come break it off the brick and sell it to you, they're going to act like it was really tough to get and jack the price up 20%. All of you Friday night eight ballers out there better go ahead and just pull the full 200 this weekend.
You thought lumber was getting expensive. Okay, so the thing about the ANOM use of devices is that they said this is only a very small percentage of the total volume of encrypted communications that are sent. So
yeah,
it's a nice big first win. I think that especially as we get out of more of like maybe necessarily the violent crime stuff, because that's out there. But when you get into the smart guy stuff,
yeah,
there is going to be more cutting of deals and flipping people and being okay giving him $120,000. I mean, this looks like it was if it's 2018, I mean, that's a couple of years project. Being okay with signing over that check because it's worth it to take out so many individuals.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. It is when you've got a criminal who's really good at crook stuff, I do not have an objection to that person in part paying their debt to society by helping to bust worst criminals. Yeah, if you're a child molester, if you're a rapist, if you're a murderer, there's probably nothing to be learned from you. You know, a really fascinating serial killer is basically going to be isolated to the point where there's police to talk to their shrink anyways. But if you're just a monster, if you're just scum, this doesn't really apply to you. If you come up with a really creative system for embezzling or for hiding communications from the government or for moving money in large quantities from point to point anonymously, and you get caught, I don't have any problem with you being like, look, I know how to write this stuff. I can help.
So this was not only the 800 arrests that we mentioned across multiple countries, but these operations that have taken place in 16 countries total also led to 700 house searches, the seizures of tons, literally tons of drugs, 250 firearms, 55 luxury vehicles. Those go out on the market and you like go and buy one for a cheap price maybe, and $48 million in several currencies and cryptocurrencies. That is a huge win for the organizations involved.
Do you use any encryption stuff? I'm assuming that when you're doing online sessions, of course, you're using an encrypted connection for those, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain levels of protection that you need to provide.
But do you, like, for instance, when you communicate with, you know, Mr. Skip or somebody else in your personal life, do you feel a need to be any more secure than just simply having a password on your phone?
No.
I don't either. There's just, I'm not that interesting.
Yeah.
Handling financial stuff, handling competitive bidding, things like that, sensitive information, I'm a little more interested in encryption for those purposes. I think it would be wonderful I'd prefer it be true, but I just don't have the skill to do it myself. But even if just the rumor got started, there's something called the Tor Project. And the Tor Project stands for the Onion Router Project. And what Tor does is it allows people to connect to the internet and be really, truly, totally anonymous. Think about like a VPN, but with multiple skips and encryption points. So it allows you to sit at your laptop, whether you're at Starbucks, Radio City, or your mom's basement, and the person at the other end cannot see who you are. They can't see where you're coming from, not your country, nothing. That technology is incredibly important for political dissidents in countries where there's unfriendly regimes, for people in abusive or sensitive situations that are trying to communicate with the outside world and escape that situation, for people who are handling super, super sensitive data who don't want hackers to be able to spot them. Unfortunately, it's also incredibly popular with child pornographers. And consumers are saying, I don't want to undermine Tor as it applies to these actual legitimate uses. I would love it if somebody could figure out a way to insert a Tor patch that lets the scumbags think that they're secure just long enough for a good old fashioned data gathering to take place. Imagine if you did this to child pornographers.
Oh my gosh.
How many bodies could you round up?
I mean, look how many you've been able to get just through the work of the organizations that are associated with Fresno County Sheriff's Department. Nope. They would be super busy.
Hackers, get on it. Somebody smarter than me has to make that work, because I'm an idiot.
We are creeping up on 5 o'clock, so that feels nice. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at kmjnow.com. You can also get the latest podcast from Broski Musan, Ray Appleton, our lineup on the weekend, and more. So right before the break, we were talking about this coordinated effort to get the bad guys in multiple countries. And if you missed that article, you can find it up on our social media. But one of the things you brought up, Philip, was the Onion router. Or Tor being useful for helping people communicate when you're in a, let's say, not so friendly situation, mm-hmm. and want to bring attention to it. And we've seen that worldwide lately. So shall we turn our attention to the lack of privacy that is going to be taking place in
this is such a twofold thing. So Apple is... They've already rolled out with iOS 14.5 an update that is starting to hedge off some of the excessive privacy invasions that take place when you install apps like Facebook or almost anything else. Monday, they announced a new private relay feature, which is designed to obscure a user's web browsing behavior. It's kind of like a VPN. Okay. It's an Apple VPN. Well, that's a privacy thing, so that people can't intercept your traffic, so that people can't look at your stuff. Now, it's not like a Tor browser, but it's just, you know, keep it quiet. Apple says the feature will not be available in China for regulatory reasons. It will also not appear in Belarus, Colombia, Egypt, Kazakhstan, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Turkmenistan, Uganda, and the Philippines.
Apple said the use of third party means no single entity can identify both who a user is and which sites they visit.
Yeah.
So not allowing this then allows for more tracking of individuals.
That's exactly what China wants, to be able to continue to track people. Apple generates 15% of their revenue in China. 15.
Yeah.
Let it go. Stop giving updates. Stop supporting these anti-democratic communist dictatorships. Stop building technology for people and then acquiescing to horrible governments.
Well, in May, there was a report, according to the New York Times, that Apple stores data from its Chinese customers in servers owned by the state-owned company, potentially making it easier for the communist government to gain access to that data. That data deal was in response to a 2017 Chinese law and was one of several concessions that were made over the past 5 years so that Apple could have that 15% of mm-hmm. their market in China.
Apple could hit a $3 trillion market capitalization next year. Let go of 15% and stop taking the knee when Xi Jinping tries to tell you how to do business. I swear to God, the worst thing in the world for the Chinese people is the Chinese government. The second worst thing is so-called capitalist countries kissing the butts of communism because they can eke out a few more dollars.
Well, and then this is where I go back to, yes, I understand that you want to be able to serve your stockholders, your shareholders, right? But at what point do you become responsible for the results of your actions? And so this is, look, I there are certain places I will not shop based on their policies or their positioning or where things are created and all that. But I would have to have like a real kind of come to Jesus moment, because I'm so used to my Apple products, my Apple phone, of taking that stand of the next time I'm due for a new piece of equipment, is it going to be Apple? Or are they all guilty? I mean, you know.
They're all guilty.
So you can't even take a principled stand on it because literally they're all a mess.
Well, you can. Just stop using cell phones.
But where am I going to get my TikTok? Just kidding. Just kidding. But there's a story.
No.
I don't have it on my phone. I watch it on my husband's phone. Anyway, we'll get to that on the way. It's coming up on 5 o'clock. We'll have news on the way as well as another check at traffic as you head home today.